with Zan Rowe on Double J.
The album opens with Body, which is easily one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. Oh. One of the greatest songs of the last year. And also one of the most intense. Was it always going to be track one?
I think so. Yeah. That song probably took me the longest to write out of the whole album because definitely doesn't follow a regular structure that I'm used to writing in. So it kind of just took a long time for it to make a shape.
Mm.
And once we recorded in the studio, I was like, yeah, this feels right. It feels like it would have been maybe a safer decision to do a bit of a catchier, upbeat one to kind of like get you in. But I felt like that would really reward, you know, people who were going to listen to the whole record.
Did you want to convey something by putting that as track one about what the record would be?
Well, probably not to like fool you into thinking it was going to be a light listen, maybe. and yeah, I don't know. I think the whole record kind of goes back and forth between times when I feel very inspired and hopeful and strong about maybe advocating for myself and my body and my freedom. Whereas with Body, that was more of a song written in a time when I just thought, I don't have the strength anymore and maybe I never will. Yeah, I guess I wanted to maybe start on a low note and then maybe, you know, slowly introduce more hopeful sentiments, I guess.
Set expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a conversation running through here and the whole record as well about the rights to and control of your own body. And it feels incredibly personal, but it also speaks to conversations that are happening more broadly. Was the timing a coincidence, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just think that those conversations I've been having for my whole life, really, in various different ways. But definitely, I guess that was a huge part of everything coming out with Me Too, is that a lot of women were going like, yeah, we've been saying this and talking about this forever. This is nothing particularly new. So it definitely was a coincidence. And I guess it kind of comes at a time when I'm 28 now. I wrote this record, you know, when I was 26, 27, 28. And it's just, I've come to a point in my life personally where I'm just kind of not willing to put up with stuff anymore, which I put up with when I was younger. And I don't know, it just sits so much better with me now to have a bit of conflict in my life and to actually, you know, address things than to just try and keep the peace by being silent.
Mm.
So I think that coincided as well, yeah.
I guess it's just my life, and it's just my body. I guess it's just my life, and it's just my body.
When did you actually write it? Because you were so busy touring that first album for a long time in Australia and overseas. When did you find the time to write these songs and what kind of environment were you writing them in?
I wrote most of them on tour, yeah. Mm. Like the first year and a half of touring, I couldn't write anything because I was just like, what is this crazy lifestyle? When will I ever get time to myself? Because that's how I used to write, you know, I'd have like a whole day to myself and my own room. And whereas touring, I was like, how on earth does anyone do this? But then I think once I just let go of ever writing another song again, just kind of being like, well, maybe I'll only have one album in me. And also just getting used to that lifestyle, they just started coming. And yeah, I remember like writing Don't Know How to Keep Loving You in a tour van driving to LA, kind of just staring out the window and then trying it out in soundcheck that night. Writing when the family flies in an Airbnb in Nashville, and we had like a 2-hour break, and yeah, just started squeezing it in. Well, goodbye.
In that environment of being constantly on the move, in small spaces with the same people every day, working the merch desk, selling your own stuff, up on stage, performing, and then having, you know, a scant few hours sleep before you've got to start moving again. Did those kind of experiences, or even just that feel, the feelings that you were having physically in that space, feed into the tone of the songs?
Absolutely. I think that was where a lot of the songs came from, like me just feeling like I had no space to myself anymore, and that because I'd put up with not having it for so long that it felt like if I started asking for it, I felt like I was being dramatic, or like that, it, you know, that you feel like you're asking too much, even though you're asking for, you know, oh, you know, would be nice if I had my own room once a fortnight or something, you know.
Which the realities of touring.
Yeah. So, yeah, it all kind of came from that. And I just, yeah, and it's kind of interesting to listen back to the record because a lot of the songs are quite long and they're, I'm not rushing anything. And I think that came from me just, I was like, no, I just need to do this the way I want to, and I'm not going to, I'm just going to take my time, because I just felt like I just didn't have any time to myself, or, yeah, to kind of stretch out and expand and, like, have any space to even process mentally what I was going through, or, yeah.
Yeah, did you feel a certain disconnect between the brain and the body, you know, the cerebral and the physicality of yourself?
Yeah. I love touring, but when you first start, you're kind of thrown in the deep end. Nobody's kind of telling you what to do or how to do it well. It's all just kind of like, this is the most exciting thing in the world, and you don't feel like you have any room to be like, oh, it is, but it's also like very exhausting, and I'm kind of not getting any advice from anyone because everybody on the road's trying to pretend that we're all like doing super well and that we're all so grateful and it's all so fun. And I definitely felt, yeah, sitting in a tour van all day, you don't ever exercise, you don't, and which is obviously great for your body and for your mind. You're kind of just stiffly kind of moving from sitting position to suddenly being on stage back into a van. I don't know. I just felt like I kind of forgot what my body was. It was just like something that was moving me from point A to point B. Yeah.
So when you were writing these songs, was that kind of a way to find a way back to yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I wrote a lot of it on tour, but then I kind of finished it all once I'd gotten home to Sydney, and I'd come out of a relationship, I'd finished touring, and I suddenly found myself like back in the share house in Annandale, and nothing was the same anymore at all. Everything had changed, and I had changed, and it was just so much change, but I had enough time to process it. And even though it was a very lonely time, definitely this record was me trying to like, okay, what am I now? And what are my feelings now? And yeah.
It does. It really feels like it's a letter to yourself.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure things out, but you're also in certain moments trying to say, fuck up, Julia. It's going to be all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or it's okay to feel shit.
Yeah. I think a lot of the time I'm motivated by singing something or writing something that I need to hear, and I never want to be like a preachy songwriter. I don't ever want anything to come across as like, this is what you should do, or like, I'm always kind of talking to myself. And if other people can kind of get on board with it, then that's great. But I never want it to be like I'm teaching lessons about like how to get through things, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, there's one particular song on the record, Good Guy, which to me sounds very much like you're trying to reassure yourself. Was it? Were you trying to sort of...
Yeah. I was trying to think of a way to describe that song. And I think it's like for someone who loves The Notebook but uses Tinder.
The Notebook, the film?
Yeah.
I don't care for the truth when I'm lonely. I don't care.
Like people who,
that's a concise way to describe a song.
Yeah, well, like, you know, when you love romance and true love and all of that, and like eternal love and monogamy and all that, but you're also just very lonely and you want to be intimate with someone, and just trying to, yeah, kind of reassure yourself that that's okay. And yeah, I like that song because I feel like it's changed even in my mind like what it means.
life just for a night. Even if you don't feel it.
The tone of the record jumps from brooding, hypnotic sounds to then, you know, a more sort of rollicking jaunt on some of the songs. Can you tell me about the kind of atmosphere that you wanted to create by doing that?
Yeah, I read some review the other day. I'm trying not to do that. But
speaking of mental health.
Yeah, exactly.
Reviews have been very good though.
No, they have been really good. But of course, like you read one negative thing and you're just like, oh, well, that's it, isn't it? But someone said it sounded like I'd written a song to try and fit onto as many Spotify playlists as possible. And I was like, what? But yeah, I think it is a bit varied, but I think that's because for one, I don't know, like I listen to a lot of different music, and also lyrically, the album to me is about the many different versions of yourself that you go through, especially like after a big life change. And it's never that you, like with a breakup, you don't have a breakup and then you're like, oh, damn, I feel so sad. And everyone gives you a big hug. And then every day you're just getting like over it more and more until a month later you're like, sweet. And now I'm back to me and I'm ready for the world. It's like, it's just, you know, a week out you can feel amazing, incredible. And you're like, this is the best decision I ever made. Look at me. And then the next week you could feel like you've made the biggest, you know, worst decision in your life. And then the next week you could, you know, drink way too much at Waywood's in Newtown and embarrass yourself in front of your ex, or like, you know, like you go through so many different things. And I think there's, even though we all know that, there's this expectation from other people that once you go through something that there should just be this upward trajectory of getting better, whether that's after like grief, like losing a friend, or after, yeah, going through a breakup or something just big. We're just not like that. And so I kind of wanted the album to reflect that it's not just like, yeah, every day you just feel better. It's just, it's a massive roller coaster until maybe you just make a decision personally that you've just got to be more mature and get on with it. So
the non-linear reality of heartbreak.
Yeah, exactly.
The potholes.
The potholes.
It's true. Do you think that from sheer touring, the amount of shows that you've played, that the way that you play guitar has changed as well, and the way that you play music has changed?
Yeah, absolutely. Like so much, because when I first started, because I'm not a trained guitarist, I think I had one lesson in like someone's bedroom when I was 17. But that always made me feel very inferior as a musician. That definitely made me feel like I couldn't call myself a musician. I'd be like, no, I'm not a musician. I'm a writer. I'm a songwriter. And then I think touring and actually doing it for a living obviously has made me more confident in myself. But then I realized that like perfection is a lot of the time kind of boring, and I am a guitarist, and I think my confidence in my ability now, I just feel like my guitar is like just an expression of my feelings, and it's not, I don't have to play everything perfectly, and nobody's like, there's only like a few idiots online who might have a problem with my guitar playing, but you know, most of the time it's just like, it's not a thing. And yeah, I even started playing drums this year, and I played a gig on drums, and I would never have done that even 2 years ago, because I would have been like, no, Julia, you're 28. There's no way you can learn a new instrument and play in front of people. Whereas now I'm like, oh, learning an instrument is just about like having fun with your friends and being able to express yourself. It's not about like the pursuit of perfection at all.
Like you've learned a lot over the last few years,
and
you are feeling, yeah, a lot more self-assured.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think touring can do that too, because it is just this like turbo time of growth, and you essentially become like a mini boss of like a small business, and you're having to deal with so many different things at once, like your public perception, you know, what people think of you in your, you know, personal life, at home, on the road. And I don't know, there's just so much you're taking on whilst also being incredibly tired and overworked. And so you just kind of have to just figure out what your priorities are. You got to figure out what you're going to actually put energy into and what you're going to worry about and what you're not, and what kind of people you're going to put time and energy into and what kind of people you're not going to. And I don't think I would have been able to figure that out as quickly if I wasn't a touring musician. So yeah. It's tough, but I think it's a real gift. Yeah.
The less time you have, the better use you make of it,
yeah.
I generally found.
Mm.
The album is called Crushing. Is it about falling for someone as much as it is feeling the weight, the crush?
Yeah. I think it's just like the title came from, like, when I made the record, I was kind of crushed by heartbreak, I guess, but I was also like crushing hard on somebody else. And I was also like, yeah, kind of like doing well in my career, but feeling incredibly unsure about it. So it's just like that word to me, just all of those things just kind of smashing together in the middle. And that's what, yeah, why I call it crushing.
And even though it feels like some of the most raw and direct songs I've heard from you so far, there's a great sense of calm throughout this record. Do you feel grounded?
Yeah, yeah. I have like incredibly good friends in my life, and the kind of friends that I wanted, I think, when I was a teenager and when I was in my early 20s. Like when you finally realize like what good friendship is and what that can do to you and how that can, yeah, people that you can fall apart around and who will still be there the next day. And you can make a mistake, you can say the wrong thing, you can just be an idiot one night and they know you and they know who you are, and they're not going to take little parts of you and paint some other picture that they have in their head. So I think that's just kind of changed my life in the last couple of years and why I feel like I had the confidence to make this record, and I feel a lot better about myself. Yeah.
Give me a full-length mirror so I can see the whole picture.
Double J.